Thank you, Brother Titus. We are certainly happy of this privilege. I almost didn't come, and this morning all I was looking for that hadn't happened, I was looking for somebody to fall out the window. That's God is still God. This last night was my time. No, we used to sing, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word?" And then we'd join together, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." And that's just about the forgotten one of the Godhead in our churches today. Honestly, brethren, I had just about reached the point that I wondered what Bible conferences were for. I say this humbly. I say this because for a number of years I'd come here and yonder, and it not meant all that much to me. Maybe it did to somebody else. But when God puts His approval, we better accept it. When God manifests, when He manifests me or you, when He manifests us wrong or right, He does it for the benefit of His church, and we better accept it. I realize that I'm not much of a judge of men, but there are some marks that God's Word has told us about preachers. Some of them are visible. The Apostle Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the dying of the Lord." I heard Brother Clark preach one time. He is sick and tired of a salvation that done so much for the soul and not much for the body. He said, "It's bodies we baptize, not souls. It's bodies we carry into the baptistry." So this morning we just wouldn't take nothing for the Lord letting us be here. I'm not going to give credit to no man. I started out Monday night, just barely got here on time, but I drove up Little Stone Monday night and called it Ebenezer. Because in the Bible it said they set up a stone, they called it Ebenezer, and said, "Hitherto hath the Lord blessed us." Then I came back the next morning, and I thought about driving down another stone, but there's just one Ebenezer. Last night I drove up a big stone, and I'm going to call that Ebenezer. Took a lot of pride while Brother Hall was preaching. 2 years ago, I guess, he came down home and spent the night with the preacher. He thought Brother Hall preached some false doctrine, and said we carried him home with us and didn't take me and Daddy long to get him straightened out. So if he hadn't got straightened out, he wouldn't preach like he did last night. So, you give Alabama credit for that, but all right. I appreciate all of you brethren No, one of the marks of a preacher, Paul said to Titus that he's a lover of good men. A lover of good men. And I love you, brethren, because I believe you're good men. I don't think it's because of you that you're good. But I think it's because of some imputed righteousness God credited to your account through his Son. We are happy of all of you that are here. And we thank Brother Titus and all the other host pastors for inviting us to come. And most of all, we thank God for allowing us to get here. No, with all the planning that Brother Titus and these brethren done, there still couldn't have been a conference without God. He could have fixed it, but not one of us made it. He could have fixed it where, and it wouldn't have weakened him a bit. Wherever one of us would have been in eternity if he'd have willed it that way. And he'd have still been God.
Amen.
No, the thing that grieves my heart more today is these men who think they're so important to God and think they've done so much and God just maybe wouldn't have made it if they hadn't come along. But God was God before I was ever born.
Amen.
And it didn't make him any more God after he allowed me to be born. He was still God right on. We desire your prayers. We bring you greetings from the Burnout Church. We're here by their authority and with their permission. I don't think I have much business doing anything over the authority of the church. And I think if I'm their servant or God's servant in their midst, that in some things they should tell me. Other things I should tell them, but some things they should tell me. I have very little respect for any man that refuses to respect the authority given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't try to conceal that from the man or the men, whoever they might be. Because this business of church government's not my idea. It's already set up and perfected. And he didn't say, under certain circumstances, do it this way or that way, but he gave it to us like he wanted it and said, see that you follow the pattern that I give you. So you pray for us. We are happy to see some here this morning, that one at least, that probably was present the first time almost 32 years ago when I stood to preach the first message. Had I known that day what was before me, that had been my last one, Brother Hall. But I didn't know. I still don't know, but no, there's never been a thing yet. But what, when it come, God give me the grace that I needed.
Amen. Amen.
There's been a lot of things that would have been the end of Earl Kirby, but God let me rise again even before I died. He's a great God. I was thinking, and then I'll read some scripture. I was thinking about Brother Healy as he preached last night. A circumstance with him, and over the phone he asked me what I thought he ought to do. And I said, "Brother Healy, you're older than I am. God can handle it." God did handle it.
Amen.
God took care of Brother Healy's influence in that circumstance that would have been hurtful maybe a little to him individually, and would have been some hurt to the cause with some brethren. But God worked it out. Maybe had to let a man get sick to work it out, but he worked it out. You pray for us. We'd like to read just one part of a verse of Scripture and say just a few things about it. In the 105th Psalm and verse 7 of this Psalm, the first part of that verse, there's more in that verse than we'll be able to cover this morning. But this verse said, "He is the Lord our God." He is the Lord our God. And there shouldn't be a one here this morning that was here last night that would doubt this truth. He is the Lord our God. I don't believe, brethren, that our God blesses just any kind of people like he did us last night.
Amen.
I believe in the book of John when he told us who these people were, that he was going to come and take up his abode with them. I believe it was a certain kind of people, and I believe that these people that the Spirit of God would live in and live on and live among, I believe that they were true missionary Baptists that are in this world today. Some of the brethren read the verse of Scripture of the building being fitly framed together, and that it grows on to a building that becomes a habitation of the Lord in the Spirit. And Baptists for too long have been afraid of the workings of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And you know why that we have reached that state? It's because that we forgot His works. We have been substituting for recent years with what some little fellas been taught that ought to be done at church. And we've tried this, and we've been lulled asleep by these things. And we've forgot the works of the Lord. And when that you forget His works, the next step is forget Him. When did you forget what He's done, then naturally you're going to forget God. Brother, He's not my God this morning because that there was any goodness about me. He's not my God this morning because that I would become one that would be so helpful to Him. But He's my God this morning simply because it pleased Him to save me and allow me just a part of the privilege of Him being my God. What a God He is today. I think about us this morning that keep ourselves shut up in homes today, that have the noise of an air condition on one side and the television on the other, everything around us is man-made.
Everything about us on the works that are so comfortable. There's something that man has made. And take your mind off of the works of God's hand. But this morning what we need is a turning in our churches. Back to our God. You can't turn yourself, brother. It wouldn't be worth nothing if you did. But turned by the Holy Spirit of God. Turn back to God. Turn back to His Word. Turned back to His truth. Regardless of what people think about Him. Oh, brother. This morning, I'm not afraid of the Spirit of God. We've been so cold and so starchy in our church in recent years. But I've lived in a day, brethren and brother, these other brethren, a lot of them have lived further back than I live. I've lived in a day when I have seen what God's power could do with baptism. Amen. We say, oh, that's Pentecostal. No, they don't have no right to it. It belongs to us.
Amen.
They don't have no right to it. It belongs to us, brother. God gave it to Missionary Burnton. And he said, no man. No man coming unto me except my Father which sent me draw him.
Amen.
It's been today learning to be a soul winner. They not know such a thing in Baptist church. It's the only soul winner that there is today is the Lord our God. He's the soul winner.
Amen.
Oh, and that he that win his soul is wise when he gets them, brother. They'll know what to do in a service like last night. I told Brother Clark, after we dismissed, I said, Brother Clark, what I enjoy most of all, or at least part of it in a service like them, is just stand over to one side and watch the strangers go by. They don't have that. They don't know how to do. They never been in nothing like that before. They never seen the workings of the Holy Spirit of God. Because they won't let Him do it. They've learned a better way. They've learned a better way. Oh, God help Baptist Church in how to heed the instruction that's been given here this week. To be careful when you start to get a preacher. Be careful even in those that you try for a pastor.
Amen.
Really, you can't get a pastor, churches. Know where pastors come from. God said, I'll take you one of a city and two of a family. And I'll bring you to Zion. And then the Lord our God said, I will give you pastor after my own heart. And they, the ones that I'll give you, they'll feed you with my eternal understanding. The Lord our God. The Lord our God. Oh, is it not time? Is it not time, brethren? We've run our churches long enough to make a mess out of them. We've run our churches long enough that we've got all the power out. Is it not time then that we let the Lord our God run the way?
Amen.
It's Him. He's got more invested in it than you have, brother. He's got more invested in it than you have. He gave His Son. The blood of His Son bought His church at Calvary. This morning, He just let me be a little part of Him. Oh, the Spirit of God in our midst. I think today that we've come to the place that in most churches they don't want God's man anymore. They want him who has been qualified somewhere by some little tuba for school. Every one of them sound like that they've been poured in the same mold at midnight with the lights out. You can tell where they come from. Carmelite Baptists, that's what they are. Oh, listen, brother. We need men in our churches that, first of all, don't count any importance on themselves. Listen to me. The Lord our God caused the greatest preacher that's ever walked on this earth. He caused him to say, and thank God that he counted him worthy putting me into this ministry. Oh, brother, little boy, less than 18 years old, that God counted me worthy to put me in the ministry, and I wasn't worthy. I still am not. I never would be. But, brother, God counted me worthy. God counted me worthy. And he counted you worthy. Preach, brother. Don't never bow your head to these little people that know nothing of the Spirit of God. Don't never feel embarrassed around them. You know, they think we're so foolish. You know what I think is true? They're the fools this morning. Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Amen. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Listen, brother. Listen. There's no power except it be ordained of God. It's not by mine. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, listen. I'm not ashamed this morning. I'll never be a Pentecostal. They don't have no tomb. But they're taking today what God gave to us. They're misusing it and abusing it. We're trying and trying. Completely on. No power. If there's nothing about our churches to keep Christians coming, how do we expect sinners to come? There's not enough about the average. You know what ought to be the Lord our God? What ought to be over the door of the most popular Baptist churches in our land today? There ought to be a sign over the door that says to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Because they don't know him. They don't know how. That he works and use him, his people. Listen this morning, brother. The Lord our God, he's all of it. He's not some of it. He's not part of it. But he's all of it to me. Can you say he's mine, the Lord our God? Oh, aren't you proud of that little old three-letter word?
Amen.
Our God. Not just Brother Clark's, but he part mine too. He's not just Brother Tynus, but he's part mine too. He don't just belong in Michigan, but he's part of our down Alabama. Brother, listen. Today I've not come out of Michigan to tell you what a sorry church I've got. And how many problems I've got. I've got the best church that there is in the world. And you, brother, if you feel any other way about the church you're pastoring, let God put you where you ought to be.
Amen.
And you'll have a good one too. You know why so many preachers don't have a good church today because they still have a few people out among them that know the Lord their God. And they can't change everything out of what they've been taught that it ought to be changed to. There's still some old brethren there down dying before they'll compromise.
Amen.
They'll say we'll not go. By in Tennessee, in Lawrence County, Tennessee, I didn't live in part of his ministry. I knew him in the latter days of his life, and the one of the best preachers that I ever knew organized on the older churches in that county. One morning, Sunday morning, while he preached in the pulpit, God saw fit to call him home while he preached. And I told some of the brethren this week, while his dead body lay there in the pulpit, two people walked down the aisle and professed Jesus Christ as their Savior. One time, he was going to church during the Depression. Wore a pair of overalls, and they were pants. That's the condition that he got in. He met a brother, said, "Brother Speakman, I've got some clothes that you could have. They'll fit you." He said, "Listen, brother, I don't aim to let a depression or nothing else keep me from preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't aim to let a depression. I sure ain't going to let a few men keep me from doing it, brother. They'll have to get mighty powerful with the devil to keep me from it, because my Lord, he's my God. He's your God." This morning we need to come to the place, this church, that we had recognized the fact that we don't know what to do. Did this pastor know what to do last night? I won't tell him a time or two, because I thought he wouldn't even ever diss me. I thought he wouldn't ever diss me. I won't tell him a time or two. Brother, we don't never know what to do. But there is still such a thing as the Spirit of God praying to our remembrance of the Word of God. Right word. The right word. Preaching and not memorizing a little sermonette that somebody said, "Now this is the way it ought to be. This is the way it ought to be." That's not preaching, brother. Why our churches are starving to death for it today is what he, the Holy Spirit of God, brings to the remembrance of the servant that he's called. That's what we need. Amen. Did he not say, "Do it"? He said, "When he's come, he'll bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I've told you to do, whatsoever I've commanded you." That's why that so many churches are not doing what he told them to do. They don't have the Holy Spirit to bring it to their remembrance. Oh, you mean... Karen, no, I'm not talking about acting a fool. I'm not talking about becoming foolish people. But I'm talking about not ashamed to say we believe in the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Brother, you believe what you want to. But I've seen the power of God get hold upon sinners. They didn't know what to do, just as I didn't know what to do. I've seen them time and time again even fall to their knees and say, "God help me." That's all they know to do. They feared him. Now, we come along and walk the aisles for Christ. No, they're not walking the aisles for Christ. They're walking the aisles for the glory of some preacher. That's what they're walking the aisles for. Let God move them, brother. Let God save sinners. Don't become discouraged because you're not baptizing every Sunday, but wait on the heart that our God will give you.
Amen.
I used to farm a Mr. Crop every now and then, and it hurt naturally. Brother, I don't want no heart at no church except that that God adds to his body. I can't add to the body of Christ. I can't make it fit. I can't hit out a single stone. That will fit the cornerstone. But God can put every rock in his place. Every rock in his place. There won't be no wide cracks. There won't be no hole for the devil to crawl through. But it'll be all fit for you. Every member will be in his place. Every member will be in his place. Oh, how much manifestation of the Word of God is there in our churches today. How much manifestation is there of our belonging to God today. The Lord, He is our God. Then on over in the very next chapter, in 106 Psalm, in verse 13, said, they soon forgot His words. Everything they'd done had been His word. Every move they'd made coming into the land of promise had been their word. You know, we're just like Israel was then. Every good thing that's come, it's come from Him.
Amen.
Every good and every perfect gift has come from God.
Amen.
Every good and every perfect gift has come from God. Oh, brother, listen, this is a personal experience, but it fits what I'm saying this morning about the Lord our God. I was in a revival meeting in the state of Mississippi one time. There was one man in that community that had the name of being the most wicked person in that community. The day before, his wife sat out in the yard under a peach tree and reading her Bible, he came, jerked it out of her hand, took a match and set it afire, and began to curse and abuse her for going to church. The next morning, she had one of the deacons to say to that church, I want everybody that believes God can save my husband. I want you to stand up right now. That church stood up. Not that the church can ever tell God what to do, but brother, God will listen to his church that believes in him. God will listen to his church that believes in his word. That church stood up. You know what happened the next morning? Middle ways of the message as I'm praying, I looked at a door like this front door here. I saw it open. I saw an old man that didn't even take time to put his shoes on. I saw him running down that aisle, screaming the agonies of a sinner going to hell. And I saw him never make it to the front. I saw him fall about middle ways of the aisle under God's power. And God saved him. God saved him. When he arose, he put his arm around that line that he remained a faithful Christian. And he said, if you'd have ever bowed to me, I'd have died and would fail. But you wouldn't give up. You said God is still God even through all of this. You said the Lord was your God. You said the Lord was your God. Oh, brother, listen to me. Let God do His work. Get out of the way. Get out of the way and let God do His work. Get out of the way and let God save who He wants to. You know what we do today? We get in our mind who we want God to save. And we say, God, you obligated to save this one because I love him. You can pray and agonize all you want to, and you ought to be concerned about sinners. But after all, brother, if they're ever saved, salvation is of the Lord. It's not because this morning, if God would have allowed me the privilege, maybe I'd like to tell him some that I wish he'd say. But this morning, the best shape I know how to stay in is just to be happy when he saves any of them. Just be happy when one that's lost his family stay in a condition that I can be happy and say, Lord, you're my God. I'm not here today. We stay in a condition that we obligate God with what we want. Brother, listen, sister, all of us together, God don't owe a single one of us anything. God don't owe either of us one thing this morning. Until you come to the place that you can be stripped of all desire for honor, that's why that people don't accept the truth today. They're not going to give up the glory of men. Ever since I was ordained, Brother Clark, young preachers, if you're here, this won't hurt you, and it'll help you if you're following. I've tried to stay in a condition that any time that somebody shook hands with me and said I enjoyed the message, I've tried to stay in a condition to say, Lord, help me. That when that happened, that it almost brings tears to mine. That I would say, Lord, it is you. It is you. Preach, if you ever preach, it won't be you. Get out of the way. Get out of the way and let God use your mind. You'll be happy. Get out of the way and let God send some of his preaching through you. You'll be happy. May not sound so good up to the natural ear. I remember one time I preached at Mountain Star Baptist Church, these back here. I don't know where it is. I thought if I'd ever made a mess in my life, I thought if I'd ever made a failure in my life, I made it that night. But in about a month, a boy that I went to school with, he called me and he said, Earl, Sunday night at Mountain's time, for the first time in my life, God showed me that I was a sinner headed for hell. You don't know what it takes to wake up sinners. You don't know how it may take a mess sometimes. What you think's a mess. But if it's God's message, he'll use it, brother, as he pleases. He'll get the results out of it that he wanted. I don't guess, Brother Hall. Brother Healy had no certain requirements that they had God pinned down with last night. I don't guess that they had any idea that the Spirit of God would move on as many hearts as he did here last night. I don't suppose that they could have named five of this great multitude. Brother, one some soul-moving demand device thing that done him. But it was simply the preached word of God being used by the Spirit of God. Amen. God loved him. So, brother, sometimes you may just be supposed to pour a little water. And one will plant, one will sow. Then some of these brethren might come by where I've preached a long time. They might have just a little water pot. They just pour a little water. Then we'll not be jealous of one another. But after a while, God will give the increase. After a while, God will give the increase. Oh, how our churches need God's increase today. How we need weeded out from among us some of the increase that we've added to it ourselves. How did... You know, I can understand. I can understand. I think it's a fine line among us that believe the truth. It's so easy sometimes for us to say that salvation is of the Lord. Then the next breath, get out here and try to be over helpful to God in this thing. Don't misunderstand me. There are some works that need to be among God's people. They always will be. They always have been and always will be. But this morning, the main word, it's not what we've done. You remember the Apostle Paul said the good works that are profitable. There's a difference when he closed out that letter to his church and the good works that are profitable in this working schedule of Baptist churches today. If you'll let some of these Baptist preachers today tell you what to do in works, you and your wife will separate in 2 weeks because you won't have no time for your family. You'll be out on some day, Tommy Rock, 24 hours a day. Getting souls saved. Getting souls saved. When they proselyte, they make them more, twofold more. The child of hell that they are. Listen, brother, we today better come to the place that we'd recognize the Lord our God. I've got loved ones today that the only reason they're going to turn is because they get to play on the softball team that they come. They're just as lost as I was when I was 13 years old. When the Lord saved me, they're going to die just that lost if that's the only reason they go to church. Hot brother, they'll never be such movements where I pastor. They'll never be because when that takes over, God is out to move the candlestick. He's out to move His people to a place where that they can let Him be their God. A ball team's not my God. A bowling league is not my God. None of these other things are not my God. Last night, I said to Brother Hall, wouldn't you been the man if while you was up there, noise kind of cut up a little bit, moving around a little. I said, wouldn't you be in the man if you'd had one of these little things jingling on a string? And that little way, your string would have to go. You've been in a mess, brother. Here's a string that don't ever break. You got the right connection. It won't break with you. It won't never break. You won't never drop it if you got the right connection. In the book of Revelation, old John, when he saw the things, probably some of it that we're beginning to see, just the beginning of it, and it was so troubling to the natural man. John, he heard behind him, now listen to me. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Sunday morning, how many will come together on the Lord's Day in the Spirit? Oh, that's not our day. That ended in the book of Acts, did it? In all the 7 churches of Asia, it said, let him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit